What if on Christmas morning you woke up and there were no Christmas lights, no decorations, no Christmas trees or presents, no family gathered for special meals, and all you had was this story, a Jewish baby born in a first century hovel, another illegitimate child in Bethlehem, the love of God embodied in a baby.
To see God through the window of this stable, to know the Spirit of God in the birth cry, to feel the breath of God in the whimper, to see the earthiness of God in the straw, to experience the presence of God in flesh and in blood, to have the song of God ringing in our ears, to be grounded in the power of God.
To watch the hungry fed and the thirsty given water, to know God not in somewhere out there, but in the everyday, to feel God in the heartache, to feel God in the laughter, to see God not only as a little baby, but as the ground of all that is alive, to be moved to pursue the way of God in the wilderness, to cherish every moment of every vow, of every hour, of every living thing, to be as a Christ, as a God presence in the living that surrounds us.
So I'm not sure we said it yet, or said it enough. Merry Christmas, one and all. Now, I want to begin first with that. But second, I want to tell you that this Christmas service this morning is part two. Part one was last night with Christmas Eve, and you can find it on YouTube, I think, or on Facebook, or get on the website, metunited.ca, and you'll find a link. So this morning, part two of a Christmas service. Last night, we spoke of comfort. This morning, we speak of challenge. Last night, we heard of the comfort of the incarnation, the Word made flesh in the birth of this Jesus. And this morning, I want to speak of the challenge this comfort brings to each of us today. Now, what if all we had this Christmas morning was this story of angels and stars, of shepherds and travelers, a newborn child? What if all we had this morning was an old story full of love and danger, laying bare the everyday beauty of an amazing God? Well, and you probably have anticipated this, that is exactly what we have this morning. A story full of love and danger, laying bare the everyday beauty of an amazing God in the birth of a child who will grow up and in his 3 short years of teaching will point us insistently and repeatedly toward that amazing God, and will equally insistently and repeatedly ask us, beg us, plead with us to see what he sees, hear what he hears, know what he knows, and to live in a way that does justice to such seeing, such hearing, such knowing. This is indeed all we have this Christmas morning. Hallelujah. And any other Christmas morning, for that matter. You know, before Christianity, and I thank Jay Wagner for sending me this, before Christianity became a philosophy, an institution, a culture, and even a business, it was a story. In fact, it was a whole messload of stories told through the eyes of the Jewish people, full of love and danger that laid bare the everyday beauty of an amazing God. Now, there's nothing like a worldwide pandemic to invite us to question our ways of being in the world, to lay bare our treatment of one another, to expose our disrespect living in creation. There is nothing like living through tough times such as these to be brought face to face with the disparate and unequal ways in which our fellow humans are affected by this pandemic. whole populations that are way more adversely affected than others, whole sectors of the economy way more affected than others. And there is nothing like living through times such as these to be brought face to face with the iniquity we somehow band-aid over in the best of times, or shove under lumpy carpets, or keep just out of sight or out of earshot. Now, it's pretty safe to say that there is not one of us that wish this pandemic had not happened in our time, or indeed in any time. But we are not given such choice. And one of my sons, Jesse, reminded me of this quote, which is perfect here, a quote from Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. We're not given such choice. All we have to decide is what we do with the time that is given to us. Now, it is no mistake that John was crying out in the wilderness. It is no mistake that Jesus was born to impoverished parents. It is no mistake that Mary was pregnant before marriage. It is no mistake that there was no room at the inn. It is no mistake that the first to hear and tell of Jesus' birth were shepherds, farmers. It is no mistake that a stable among the animals was Jesus' birthplace. When we gloss over these parts of the story or romanticize them, we miss the thread, we lose the message. Would we believe if we were led to a newborn Savior in a homeless shelter or a truck stop? But in Luke's story, that's exactly what it is. The Word incarnate takes on human flesh amongst these, and in the most everyday way. Now, how we hear the Christmas story will decide for us what we do with the time that is given to us, how we respond, how we are changed, how we are no less than transformed by our take on this old story will decide. And how we hear and how we respond must first be informed by the recognition made abundantly clear in this time, that we are in this together, all of us, every single one of us, indeed, all of creation. There is no us and them, or as Scripture tells us, no east or west, no north or south, no female or male. There is no us and them. Such a distinction is entirely erroneous. And so, who are the Johns and the Marys and the Josephs and the shepherds now? Who are the heralds? Who are the prophets? So a partial list. A 95-year-old who tells me she is very lonely but willing to do her part for the greater good by staying inside. The 28-year-old PhD in environmental science, spending his time trying to make his voice heard amongst the naysayers. The woman pushing a shopping cart I saw the other day loaded with wrapped Christmas presents, poking her way into tents and delivering Christmas in Moss Park. The lawyer in Ottawa filing brief after brief to help those who are trying to stave off the latest execution in Texas. The trans person raising funds and inviting ridicule for an outreach program in small town Ontario. The Indigenous writer sharing knowledge of the land we are all tied to and need to remember. The congregation member spending his time calling those who are shut in and giving a listening ear. The economist researching alternatives to Adam Smith's trickle-down theory of capitalism, and the entrepreneur translating such alternatives into action. This Christmas story is first comfort and then challenge. It enables us to turn toward and not away, gives us the courage to speak out of our faith and not be silenced. To do, to engage, to entertain, to welcome the challenge, the ways forward given to us in the comfort of the birth of this Jesus. So what should our new normal look like? We have the chance, we have the duty, as we come through this pandemic, to decide. So this Christmas morning, we have this story of angels and stars, of shepherds and travelers, a newborn child, an old story full of love and danger, laying bare the beauty of an amazing God. A day on which we witness again the birth of Jesus, a child born in the first century in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, to show us yet again and always a new ancient way of being alive. Born to show us how to live the gift of the time that is given to us. Is it enough to know that we are, with all of creation, in the midst of all that God is? Is it enough to know that we are a part of God's justice that yet shall be? A resounding yes to both the comfort and the challenge this Christmas day. Merry Christmas, one and all. Amen.